Kingdom Woman, Chapter 2, A Woman of Hope.
There's a beautiful story about a beautiful lady. Her name was Cinderella. But Cinderella felt ugly. She lived with a wicked stepmother and two equally wicked stepsisters. They made Cinderella their slave. Now, she was beautiful, but she didn't think about herself as beautiful because of the influence of a wicked environment that put her down, messed over her, and reduced her to nothing. The problem with Cinderella was that she was stuck there. She was locked in the situation, and for a long time, she could not get out of it. You've heard the story. You know about the ball and how she was miraculously transported there in a carriage. At the ball, she met a prince. The prince saw Cinderella and loved her. But the problem in the story, as you know, is that the clock struck midnight, and she reverted to her old self. She became a slave again to an evil family. The good part of Cinderella's story, though, is that the prince never forgot her. Even though a lot of people had been at the ball, something about Cinderella made her stand out from the crowd. She was special. She was unique. She was rare. Everyone wanted the prince, but the prince wanted Cinderella. All he had to work with to find her, though, was a shoe she left behind. If he could find the foot that fit the shoe, he would find Cinderella. So he set out, going house to house in search of his treasure. After a long and hard search, the prince finally found her. A lot of women today are living like Cinderella. They are influenced by a wicked stepmother, the devil, who's got two wicked daughters, the world and the flesh, living as slaves in a hostage situation. Many women feel trapped in a hopeless scenario. Perhaps this describes you in some way. Maybe you thought you would be further along than you are right now. Maybe you had a brighter dream for how your family would be, or your career, or your relationships. Maybe you even met the Prince of Peace, and he saved you some time ago, but you have found yourself again in bondage. That could mean emotional bondage, spiritual bondage, or even physical bondage. It is easy to lose heart when you can't see an end to the tyranny. What I want to remind you is that there is hope. Jesus knows right where you are, and he knows how long you've been there. He has a way out of any hopelessness you may feel. He doesn't just want to bring his money to you, his castle to you, or his chariots to you. He wants to bring you to him. He wants to take you out of the bondage and let you live in the freedom of his presence and provision. He wants to show you your new position and your new glory. He wants to get you out of a spirit of slavery. He wants to give you hope. Suppose Cinderella had given up. Suppose she had resolved to stay locked away in the house. She would never have been found by the prince. She would never have tried on her own shoe. She would have missed out on happily ever after. A lot of us have given up on God. We have counted the years when it seems our prayers have not been answered, and we have determined it's too late. Too many times we miss out on the destiny God has for us because we have stopped looking. We've stopped hoping. Scripture has another story for us of a woman limited by bondage. She wasn't Cinderella, but she faced her own ongoing struggles that kept her from living out the truest form of her destiny. This woman, who was unable to stand tall in the book of Luke, a woman was there in the synagogue who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Here we have a woman who for 18 years had an unfixable problem that doubled her over. Like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, she could not straighten up. Her eyes regularly saw only the ground because she was unable to look elsewhere. The passage makes it plain that there was nothing she or anyone else could do to straighten things up for her. She perhaps had some kind of spinal deformity that kept her bent over. Because of her physical position, she could never fully see things as they really were. Her perception, not only of herself, but also of the world around her, was distorted. Her issue was not just one of health, but it had become one of habit simply because it had gone on for so long. 18 years is a long time to have your world affected adversely by something you did nothing to deserve and have no power to change. This woman's life had to have been filled with discouragement day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. It would be easy to assume that the woman may have lost her hope. Are you able to identify with her or with Cinderella in any way? Maybe you have experienced a pain or a problem that won't go away and you feel stuck in a rut, or perhaps in a position that doesn't offer any hope for a brighter tomorrow. While this woman's issue is physical, many trials can force your head or heart downward, either emotionally or spiritually. It could be something your dad said or did, or even your mom. It could be something an unthinking sibling might have done or said that has kept you emotionally crippled for so long. It could even be a spouse, friend, or people at work who have mislabeled you and held you back from your destiny as a kingdom woman. You've tried reading books to set yourself free, attending Bible studies, and talking to a counselor, pastor, or friend, but no matter what you do, the problem or bondage seems to remain. The first thing I want to tell you is that you are not alone. Many women feel bound by emotional, spiritual, or physical pain. It could be that you feel you follow God's word and honored him with your life, but somehow he hasn't held up his end of the bargain. Whatever it is, it has you downcast. And whatever has you downcast has distorted your perspective, not only about yourself, but also about the world around you. Before you give up, though, look up. See, being a kingdom woman isn't summed up in just going to church more or doing good things. It's about connecting with the one who gives hope. Luke 13 tells us that the lady who couldn't straighten up was in the synagogue. She was at church. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. For 18 years, this woman most likely had come to church, sung her songs, listened to sermons, praised God, giving her alms, and more. Yet she was no further along in being set free from her bondage than the first day she had come. Evidently, church, in and of itself, didn't help her. The system of religion, in and of itself, didn't heal her. She was a cripple in the pew who had learned how to settle for managing her mess. She had learned how to settle for just getting by. Yet a kingdom woman never settles. I realize that what may have happened in your childhood or in your relationships, abuse or misuse, or even with your health or finances may have pushed you down. And the best you think you can ever reach is learning how to manage your pain. Maybe it looks unfixable and broken. After all, 18 years is an awful long time, but Jesus has more for your future than settling, just like he had more for the woman who couldn't straighten up on her own. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. She had been in church for a long time. Evidently, you can go to church and not meet Jesus. You can be in the so-called right place and never run into Jesus. When she met Jesus, she met the one who was not going to do what had simply been done for 18 years. Everyone else had dealt with the fruit, but Jesus went directly to the root. Twice in the story of this woman, we are told the cause of the problem. She had been bound by Satan. Her issue was not the issue. The issue went deeper than what she physically and emotionally faced. That's important to know, because if the problem is caused by the enemy, a doctor can't solve it. If Satan causes the problem, a sermon or a song can't solve it. Neither can it be solved by talking to friends, nor drowned by drinking too much, nor covered by therapy that you really can't afford. If the problem is spiritual in nature, then it needs a spiritual solution. Keep in mind, I said it needs a spiritual solution, not a religious solution. There's a big difference between the two. A key aspect of your life as a kingdom woman is how you view and respond to Jesus. Is he simply something attached to a ritual or routine, that of religion? Or do you view him as a real person who longs to have a relationship with you? The reason why so many people end up bound by issues is that they try to address the circumstances rather than appealing to the one who can address the root. The circumstances may be the result of a spiritual situation. If something has gone on for that long, then you are dealing with the fruit and not the root. As long as Satan can keep you thinking about the fruit, he has hold of you. He doesn't mind if you go to your 12-step program, talk to your friends all about it, or make New Year's resolutions time after time after time. He doesn't mind because he knows those are fruit-based solutions rather than root-based solutions. If something in your life won't seem to lift, no matter what you try or how you face it, I want you to look deeper than what you can see, because there is a spiritual root that needs to be addressed. The woman's solution came suddenly. 18 years of struggling to straighten up was healed immediately. See, with Jesus, it doesn't have to take a whole lot of time to change your view. But I want you to notice that Jesus asked her to do something. He asked her to come to him. She had to leave wherever she was standing and come over to him. She had to make her way to Jesus in faith, even though she couldn't stand up straight enough to see him. She couldn't quit or throw in the towel. She had to hold on to some hope, even in what looked like a hopeless scenario. She couldn't say, "Well, I've come this far, and that's as far as I'm going to go." Despite the aches that no doubt were common for her legs and back by then, despite the shame of being different from everyone else around her, she still went to Jesus. She didn't stop where she was. She placed her hope in his voice, and she kept going until she got to him. For a kingdom woman to experience spiritual victory or relief from whatever may keep her head or heart down, she has to go to Jesus. He is the only one who has authority over Satan and his minions. He is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. That doesn't mean that Satan still can't disturb you, because he can. What that does mean is that Satan cannot disturb you when Jesus tells him to stop. Jesus disarmed Satan when he died on the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. In other words, Jesus is the one calling the shots. While Satan still has a great deal of power, Jesus has authority over Satan's power. If you want to get to the root of what has you discouraged and bent over, only Jesus holds the authority that you need to do so. If you are looking for your solutions in the physical realm when there is a spiritual cause, you are looking in the wrong location. One of the easiest ways to get a Christian off track from her personal destiny is through discouragement. I have seen this time and time again as I counseled people struggling with hopelessness. When you feel as if you have lost your hope, you're tired and want to give up. Your head and your perspective only sees what's down. Your shoulders droop. And you forget that a future is out in front of you waiting to be grabbed. The best thing I can tell you to do if you are facing hopelessness is to listen to Jesus. Hear him call your name. Like the woman who couldn't straighten up, don't quit. He doesn't want you to quit. He wants you to come closer to him so he can put his hand on you and change your life suddenly. If he doesn't answer your prayers right away, that's because he works healing in four ways. First, he can supernaturally heal you. Second, he can use human means to remedy your condition. Third, he can give you strength to handle your condition until he corrects it. Fourth, he can enable you to persevere through the pain on earth until your full healing is manifest in heaven. It's easy to want to give up. I understand that. The struggles you face are legitimate. If any of that sounds familiar, I want to encourage you to hang in there. A kingdom woman sets her eyes on Jesus. And he strengthens her to be all she was created to be.
Crystal's Chronicles.
I love to try new things, and I get excited fairly quickly when I am learning something new. Reminders are all over my home of things that I've set out to do but are incomplete. 2 years ago, I started a quilting class with my daughter. The quilt is in my closet, folded up, about 1/8 of the way to completion. I have started 3 scrapbooks. One for my son Jesse, one for my son Kanan, and one for the family. None of them have more than 6 to 8 pages. I've started cleaning my closet more times than I can count. The back of the closet hasn't been touched for the last 3 years. I have a pile of items to sell on Craigslist or eBay. The pile is growing faster than the items sell. Books are a passion of mine. However, I buy them faster than I can read them. Being less than 10 minutes from a Barnes & Noble's doesn't help my situation, and neither do my visits to the annual homeschool book fairs. Yes, that's plural. Add to that the reading I need to do to keep up with my children's learning. I've started more Bible studies than I care to remember. The Believing God Bible study by Beth Moore is still on the bookshelf that it sat on when I started it 2 years ago. Both summers since, it's been on my to-do list. Although I enjoy my life and never quite get stuck in a rut or fall into boredom often, I can't say that I finish as many things as I start. I have to admit that this ADD way of living isn't simply a result of a complex adult life or the byproduct of motherhood-induced amnesia. Since my teenage years, I've often found myself so hyper-focused on one area of struggle that I just give up and yield to the temptation of throwing in the towel. Probably the best illustration of this was during my high school athletics. When I was in high school, I ran track. Although my true desire was to be a sprinter and join the elite on the 400-meter relay team, the reality was I just wasn't fast enough, so I got put in longer distance races. Instead of being on the 400-meter relay team, I had to run the whole thing myself. Needless to say, this was a struggle for me. The same folks who were running 100-meter dashes and could keep it up for a while were the same people who entered the 400-meter races. I ended up hopeless at many of the track meets as I settled into the idea of coming in toward the back of the pack. So my coach suggested I try the 800-meter race instead. She obviously thought I was a glutton for punishment. Since I didn't seem wired for speed, I guess my coach figured I might be wired for endurance. I hated running this race. I think I might have preferred coming in last on a shorter race than placing higher running a race that required emotional and physical torture. I hated feeling like my lungs were going to pop out of my chest cavity, and I hated the burning sensation of my soles over the spikes on the asphalt. My head hurt, my thighs ached, and my arms would be on fire. It was miserable. And that was when I was running the race at a track meet. Practices involve their own unique torture. I had to run longer and faster in preparation for my performance at a meet. The 800-meter became 2 miles for practice and endurance, and 200-meter dashes expanded to 8 200-meter dashes in a row to develop speed. But I wanted to run. I struggled to do it well, but I wanted to do better. So I kept showing up, even when I wanted to quit. There is a story hidden in those years of running that illustrates a time when I wanted to quit like nothing else, but I didn't. It is a time when I had lost all hope but found a way to keep going. We tell the story over and over at our family dinner table. My dad came to watch me run the 800-meter race. I started out and established a good pace. I remember rounding the first curve and thinking that I felt full of energy and that my breathing had a good rhythm. Even after the curve, where I had the advantage of being in the inside lane, I was still in the lead. Now I started to get a bit excited. I remember hearing the pace of the girls behind me and thinking that I actually had a chance of placing. When I went around the second curve, my adrenaline started flowing and my heart pounded a bit faster. Surprisingly, I was still in control of my body, driving it forward with each step and each swing of the arms. I felt powerful. On the second straightaway, words cannot express the pride that welled up in me as I heard my dad's voice in the stands yelling, "Go, Crystal! Go, Crystal! You can do it! Keep it up! Pace yourself! Go, go, go!" Around the third curve, no one had passed me yet. There was a chance, a real chance, that I could take home a medal this time. Yet before I knew it, that familiar feeling started showing up. My lungs began to burn. My legs felt like lead. I willed my arms to pump faster and harder. I was still in the lead. But soon, all of my power escaped through my nostrils. The capacity to control my breathing and my pace completely disappeared. My body and my flesh took over as I slowly realized that now, even getting to the finish line might not happen. In the distance, I could still hear my dad yelling, "Crystal, don't give up! Keep going! Come on, keep running, don't quit, you can do it." This time, my appendages cared nothing for his words, and they were running the show. I heard the steps of the girl closest to me increase a tad in speed. She saw the finish line approaching too, and she was definitely after me. Halfway up the straightaway, she passed me, and took with her the last bit of resolve I owned. I had lost, and I heard the distant voice cry out in compassion for me. "Oh, Crystal," my dad said. I knew what he meant by those words. I had given up. A second set of feet closed in on me. When I say that I was barely walking at this point, that is exactly what I mean. Not only was I losing, but I wondered if I would even finish. I attempted to set my eyes on the finish line, but it seemed too far away. I let my eyes fall to my feet instead. My head drooped. My once upright frame started to bend over. Completing the last 30 feet to the finish line seemed to take 3 hours. Everything moved in slow motion. The voices from the crowd had become unintelligible, except for one. I heard him, as loud as ever. He knew I was discouraged. He knew I had felt I had first place in the bag. He could tell by my posture that I had lost hope of even finishing now, but I heard him yell, "Go, Crystal! You're almost there! Go! You can do it!" When my right foot crossed the final white line, I came to a screeching halt, but I had finished. I hadn't given up, and I had grabbed the third place medal. I truly feel that on that day, and every day my whole family laughs as my dad tells the story again, on that day I was ready to quit. I simply stopped giving it my all when the first girl passed me. My flesh was weak, my spirit was faint, and I did not dig deep within to continue, at least not on my own. I learned in that experience, though, that just as much as we need focus, diligence, and self-control to finish a race, sometimes we need someone encouraging us as well. Someone who believes that we can do it, even when we have stopped believing in ourselves. Our lives are not without mistakes. Every experience we have, God can use for His glory. He weaves our good and our not-so-good together to make a beautiful tapestry. But oh, how I want to avoid unnecessary pitfalls by giving up way too soon. I so yearn to be one of those people who goes the distance as a kingdom woman. I don't want my life only to leave loose threads, rough edges, or unfinished tasks. I want to finish, and I want to finish well. It makes me sad to think of times in the past when I haven't. When I look around at all the projects and tasks that I have yet to complete, it makes me sad to think that I will fall prey to every distracting activity that comes my way rather than keeping first things first. What can I do? How can I change? Hebrews 12:1 tells us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." How do I know which race is mine? Only God can tell me. How can I get this information from God? I have to spend time with Him. I have to view Him as more than religion or a system of rights and wrongs. Jesus is real. The relationship that He longs to have with me is real. And only He can help me lift my head up when the tiredness from life causes me to cave in. Only His voice matters when I'm ready to give up. My dad makes an interesting point when he teaches on Hebrews 12:1. The verse doesn't just tell us to throw off the sins, plural, that hinder us and entangle us. It says to throw off the sin, singular. We aren't to get weighed down trying to fix this, that, and the other, because if we don't get the main thing right, we'll never get the rest to fall in line. The sin that this verse refers to is the sin of unbelief, a lack of faith. When Jesus told the woman who couldn't straighten up that He wanted her to come to Him, she could have said no. She could have said that she'd tried church already. She could have said that she was tired. She could have said that her back hurt. She could have said she didn't want to be disappointed again, so why try? But instead, she demonstrated faith despite a lifetime of hopelessness. Life is hard. Life is tough. And life is real. But on the day when I ran that 800-meter race, others ran too. The race was difficult for everyone. My legs weren't the only ones burning. My lungs weren't the only ones heaving. My thighs weren't the only ones that felt lifeless and heavy. But the good thing is, we all finished. I don't think I'm a quitter by nature. However, I do get easily distracted. Isn't that just like Satan, though? If he can't convince us to quit, he just keeps us distracted. Sisters, we are each running a race, and Jesus is calling us each to run with Him, to keep from being distracted and to live with purpose. He doesn't want us to run with our heads down any longer. He wants us to fix our eyes on Him, to straighten up and let His voice push us on. Can you hear Him? He's calling your name. He's cheering for you, telling you that you can make it, and encouraging you as you run your race. You don't need to give up. You don't have to drop your gaze toward your feet. We serve a God who knows that we get tired. He is the same God who spent time on this earth, clothed in flesh, running his own race, catching his breath, and enduring physical, emotional, and mental fatigue and pain. So be encouraged. Our God not only can identify with us as we run, but if we will receive it, he also offers power and strength so that we can run our own race well.
I always remember the day cheering on Crystal as she ran. Her story reminds us that even though life gets hard, we have someone on our side. He is asking each of us to keep going and not quit. Jesus' death on the cross won your victory in everything. He didn't just die so that you would be able to manage your mess or misery. He died so that you might have life and have it abundantly. One final thought from the story of the woman who couldn't straighten up found in Luke 13:16, where Jesus gives us a key insight into the rights of a kingdom woman. This woman, a daughter of Abraham. Did you catch that? The woman Jesus healed was a daughter of Abraham. God had made a covenant with Abraham all the way back in time, recorded in Genesis, that he would bless Abraham and his descendants. What God promised to give to Abraham held true for Abraham's children as well. This woman was connected to Abraham, so she was connected to his covenantal promises. She had a right to be blessed. The same is true for you. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a child of Abraham and therefore have rights given to you by the covenant. As a kingdom woman, you have a right to fully experience your destiny. You do not have to live doomed to disappointment or hopelessness. You can stand tall and walk straight.